All right. Well, this is round two for me this morning. I had the privilege of filling in for Ward Susan Bach out of Mount Gilead this morning. I figured Ward's helped me out many of times, and when he called me on Friday and said he couldn't talk, I know that was devastating to Ward because he likes to talk. Most of us do. So anyway, we had some fun with that out there. But nice people, good crowd at the Mount Gilead Church this morning. So this is round two, and I pray that Ward gets feeling better soon for sure. Our scripture lesson is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, the parable of the persistent widow. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" May God add blessing and understanding to the reading and hearing of his word. In the 1940s, Sir Winston Churchill, who was at that time the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, in his first term from 1940 to 45, and then later from 51 to 55, in 1941, during World War II, the Prime Minister gave a speech to the English people, and it was a speech that was given to them at one of their darkest hours. And he said these words, "Never give in. This is the lesson. Never give in. Never give in. Never, 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 never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in." The message is pretty clear. His message to the people of England was to never give in, never give up. And as I was preparing for this message and I was thinking about what to say and how to address it, I began to wonder about the people who do give up and the people who don't give up. And what's the difference between those? Why do some just simply refuse to quit? They just keep on going like the Energizer Bunny. And then why are there those that don't seem to finish anything that they start? We all know people in both camps. Many of us who are Christ followers have witnessed those who were at one time on fire for Jesus. They were excited about ministry and mission in the local church, and then they backslide and they fall away from God. We have seen people in spiritual disciplines like prayer who pray earnestly for something and then only to find out that it doesn't happen or doesn't happen in the way that they see, and they give up on prayer. They just give up. Or they seek an answer in the Bible and they don't find the answer they want, or the answer that they finally do find doesn't fit with their theology or doesn't fit with what they hope that the answer would be, and so they give up on Bible reading. There are those within churches today that come to church and they find that there's some decision that was made and they don't like that decision, and so instead of staying and working it out and trying to make things better, they pack up and they leave and they move to another church. There are people that come to worship and they come for entertainment, or they come because it meets their particular needs. And when something changes, they decide they don't like it. It doesn't meet their needs, and so they quit and they give up going to church. And then there are the people in ministry. Those who at one time felt the call of God upon their lives and their hearts to serve God in the local church or the mission field, but they find out that ministry is difficult. They find out that people don't respond the way that they used to. They find out that things aren't like they were 30 years ago or 40 years ago, and so they get discouraged and they quit. In fact, Patty and I look at our graduation picture from seminary of 30 years ago this month, or last month now, and we see that we're two of the only remaining people that are in the local church serving as pastors in that capacity. Many of our friends have left the ministry. But the Bible gives us a foundation. The Bible gives us a foundation for staying with things for the long haul. And that's what I want to address this morning. Staying with things for the long haul. Never giving up. Having persistence. Perseverance. A stick-to-itiveness. An attitude that we would have. In our beginning of our verse for today, in verse 1 of chapter 18, Jesus begins to tell a story. And what's interesting about this story is the first word of it, then Jesus, then. So when you see that, however, or then, or whatever, you have to realize that there was more to the story ahead of time, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Gee, I wonder where Churchill got his idea. Jesus had the same idea thousands of years before, to not give up, to not give in. This passage has been used repeatedly in churches and Sunday school classes and Bible study groups for years as the premier passage about prayer, that we should always pray and that we should be persistent in prayer. And if this passage teaches anything, it certainly does teach us about prayer and the consistency of prayer and the need of that. And I've understood that. But I also try to look at words and words in between and words before and after and all of them together. And when you see that word then and you understand that there was something that happened before that to preface this passage, and you understand when you're reading the words pray and never give up, you realize that that and joins that together, pray and never give up. So we're doing two very separate things. One is we're praying, and secondly, we're never to give up. Those two things come together as one. In these words in chapter 18, Jesus talks about some positive qualities. And the positive qualities that we need to have in order to be recipients of God's blessings. He speaks of those, that we need to be faithful, that we need to be constant in our prayers, and that we should never give up. In fact, Jesus is really saying, hang in there. I got this. It's going to end well. It's going to turn out all right. Before us today is a parable of the unrighteous judge. And we know from the scripture that the unrighteous judge states himself and is referred to as unrighteous. He has no care or clue for God, no care about God at all. He doesn't want to honor God at all. And so we have this person in this story today, this secular judge. We also have in this story a widow. These are two figures that we can identify with. We all know crooked politicians and elected officers. We all understand that they exist. We all understand that there are widows and widowers in our church and in our families and in the world today. We see this very clearly. And we understand that this unrighteous judge finally does listen up and hear the prayers or the nagging, if you will, of the persistent widow. And we also learn that God, our Heavenly Father, if that unjust judge will hear those prayer requests, those persistence of this widow, then how much more will he listen to our prayers? It reminds me of the scripture in Matthew's gospel where Jesus said that look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor they reap, but God takes care of them. We are also told in that passage that we are not to worry, for who by worrying can add any time to their life? God takes care, and in that passage also we find, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. So the story is clear. Be persistent in your prayers and do not give up. Remain for in ministry and in the context of the church and in your spiritual lives and do not give up. There's a story told of a church elder, and he was a man of extravagant faith. He believed in the scripture that says all things are possible and you can do anything with God. And so whenever someone would bring up a new idea, this old elder would listen to the ideas. He would ask questions about the ideas, and then he would invariably say, why not? If this is for God and his kingdom, why not? Robert Schuller, who was for many years the pastor of the Crystal Cathedral out in Garden City or Garden Grove, California, said this about new ideas. He said, there's something wrong with every great idea. It doesn't take any faith to point out flaws. And so it makes me think that instead of saying we can't afford to do that, or we can't do that, or we've never done that, or that would never work here, we might take some advice from a wise old elder who said, if it's for the glory of God, why not? Why not? We can find a way to do it. But the question for me still remains, and the question that I take from this passage is one that's hard to find an answer to, and that is, what is it that's going to keep us faithful? What is it that's going to help us remain faithful over the long haul? What is it that will keep us motivated? We find the application comes in verses 7 and 8 of our scripture this morning. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? Question. Will he keep putting them off? The answer is no. He will not keep putting them off. If this unjust judge can continue to ignore and then finally give an answer, then certainly God will do more than that. What we're talking about here in this passage of Scripture is more than just prayer, though. And it's more than just about not giving up. If you look back to chapter 17 and you begin at verse 20, you'll find this whole discussion started with Jesus and the Pharisees. Oh, the good old Pharisees. And this discussion between them started by them asking the question about the kingdom of God. When will the kingdom of God come? We ask that question ourselves, don't we? We see signs. We see all kinds of statements being made. We hear people that come up with exact dates, and they post them out there for God and everybody to see. And they say, this is the day of Christ's return. And then we have people on the other end of that spectrum who come out and they say, don't worry about it, it's just going to happen. Both of those individuals are wrong. We need to not decide a date. There's no way. Jesus said himself, I don't even know the date. Only God the Father knows when I'm going to come back. So cross that off your list. But we also should not just ignore it and say, well, it's just going to happen when it happens. We need to understand that God will send his son back to the earth. He promised that he would come back. And so this passage is more about that as well. Jesus goes on to tell them that the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation or your study. Some people decide to make charts and they say, well, look what's happening in Israel. Look what's happening with this election. Look what's happening in our world today. And those are all signs, but they don't always add up to when Christ is going to return. They may be part of it, they may not. He says that we should not run after people like that. He tells the Pharisees that they should not run after people like that. But he says that there will be a time coming when the Son of Man, you will long to see him. But many says, some people will tell you, there he is, or here he is, but he says, don't go running after them. Many people try to figure out, you know, maybe he's the Messiah, maybe he's the Antichrist, maybe, you know, all these kinds of things, trying to figure these things out. Jesus says, for the Son of Man in his days will be like lightning, which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. There'll be no mistake when Jesus comes. You will know when Jesus comes. The scripture tells us, Jesus himself tells us, I'm not going to tell you when I'm going to come, I don't know, but when I come, you'll know. There will be lightning in the sky that is unmistakable, and make no bones about it, everybody will know that I have come back. We will know because of that. And then Jesus goes on to talk to these Pharisees about what that's going to look like. And he says to them that there will be people that are grinding grain, two women. One of them will remain and the other will be gone. There will be a couple lying in bed together. One of them will remain and one will be gone. You will gather together and you will be eating and drinking and having a good time, and all of a sudden, someone will not be there. This is how we will begin to know what these end times look like. And he also then talks about people hanging out on the flat roof. I remember when we first moved here and my boys thought it would be a lot of fun to lie out on the flat roof of the carport garage at the parsonage. And a couple of them got burned a couple times. I caught them climbing up the television antenna when it existed, climbing in and out that and going up, and they would come up onto that roof and all that. Remember that, Mark? Remember that, Jake? I do. I remember that, Andrew. I remember that happening. All these things that happen, all of these things that happen. But he says here on this about people going up onto the roof, and they're up on the roof, and Jesus will come back, and he says, don't worry about going back in and getting all your stuff. Don't worry about that. Just know that I'm coming back. One will be taken and the other left. And then he ends it in verse 37. He replied, where there is dead body, vultures will gather. It's a very gruesome kind of an ending to the comments that Jesus makes to the Pharisees about the end times. And then we begin chapter 18. Then Jesus told them, these disciples, this parable. We see that there are people in ministry, people serving in churches in the world today. They're working hard. They're working diligently. But they find that not everybody is accepting what they're doing, how they should handle the injustice and the rejection that they feel that comes their way. And they wonder how a God can be so loving and kind and still all of these bad things can go on in the world. And then comes the answer from Jesus himself. He says, pray. Pray persistently. Never give up. Don't quit. Or as my grandpa used to say, I can't, never did anything. I can't, never did anything. We must pray and not lose heart. We must not give up. And it is important for us as Christ followers to remain faithful and patiently await Christ's second coming. What makes this parable interesting and very relatable is that we can think about that widow. And as you picture a widow, if you're like me, you probably picture this little decrepit little old lady. She might be walking with a cane or a walker. She'd been widowed for many, many years and been by herself. That wouldn't be the case in biblical times. Widows in biblical times could have been as young as in their 30s. People didn't live as long as they do today. And so this might have been a young woman. But one thing that we need to understand about her, the justice that she was seeking probably included some kind of a financial arrangement, money that was left by her husband, or how she was going to be taken care of. And if the husband had a brother, then that would be his responsibility to take care of, but there probably wasn't, and so she had to seek justice. She had to get what was coming to her, and she was persistent about it. She would never, ever give up. She was a person that was helpless in society. And women, they at this time would not have the power or position or anything like they have today in today's world. It would not exist. And so it was difficult for a woman to be able to do anything or to get any attention that she needed. And this judge, this unjust judge in the parable that is here before us today, is a judge that doesn't care. He says very openly, I don't care. I don't care about what people say. I don't honor God. I just do whatever I want. That's the kind of judge that this woman was dealing with. He was no respecter of persons. He heard the cries of the widow and he totally ignored them. The fact that the petitioner in the parable is a widow means that she was vulnerable. And I've seen this over the last 25 years for my mother, and I've witnessed it in churches that I've pastored, of how widows are taken advantage of. I see it. It exists even today. But the judge in this case has no cultural or moral obligation. I was reminded as I was thinking about this passage and working on this sermon of the scripture in James chapter 1, verse 27, that says very clearly about religion and what it should do. It says, pure religion looks after widows. Pure religion looks after orphans in their distress. Jesus said a lot in Scripture about poor people. Jesus said a lot in Scripture about caring for others, those that were orphans and those that are widows, those that are estranged, those who are cast out. Jesus said a lot about those things. That is something that we all need to take note. Now, for some time in this scripture, there's no action. The woman came repeatedly back and forth to this judge, and he totally ignored her. But he eventually relents. He eventually gives in because the persistence of the widow wore him down, it says in the scripture. I can think of times when I've been asked by my wife to do something, and I ignore it. And she asked me again, and I might ignore it again. And she asked me a third time, and she just keeps asking me to do something. And finally, I give in. Because why? Well, I don't want to hear it anymore. Or like my father-in-law used to say about my mother-in-law, I don't want to incur her wrath. So the judge gave in. He got tired. He realized that this woman wasn't going to quit and that she was going to wear him down. In the Greek, it means that the word, it says bothering her, him. The widow was bothering him. It's like a little kid, can we do this? Can we do that? And pulling and tugging on your shirt until they finally get you to respond one way or the other. And usually it's their way. But he is tired of her causing him trouble, and she wears him out. She becomes that nagging woman that won't give up. And he finally acts. But then Jesus says something in verse 6 that if you just read over it may, yeah, well. But if you read over it and you understand what he's really saying here, listen to this. He says, listen to what the unjust judge says. Really? Listen to what the unjust judge says. What does he mean by that? He means that we should reflect on what he said and on his reaction to the persistent request of the woman. that she was persistent. And then he ties it back in with the very beginning in chapter 18, verse 1, that we should pray consistently, that we should never give up. Because of her persistence, her prayer was finally answered. She was finally granted justice. She was given that mercy that she so desperately wanted. And then God reminds us in verse 7, if this unjust judge is able to do this, how much more then will God do for his children who love him, who honor him, who are faithful, who never give up? That is made clear. I believe that God desires greatly to vindicate his children, that he will one day make everything right and just and good as it was intended from the beginning. But because of sin in Genesis chapter 3 and following through multiple generations, we struggle in this life. We suffer. We see injustice over and over. But one day, he will make it all right. How many of you have read the end of the book? You know what the answer is going to be and how it's going to end. God himself will be with his people, and then there will be no more pain, no more crying, no more tears, no more suffering. And God himself will wipe away the tears from their eyes. God will answer those prayers, and the injustices that we see now will be removed swiftly and surely, and our suffering that we have in this life will seem so short-lived compared to the glory that we will experience one day when God calls us home. But a final thought remains, and Jesus brings it up in verse 7, or verse 8. He said, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Question mark. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Question mark. You understand in this passage then that there is a delay. Jesus is going to come back, but as you read into it, you see that no one knows when it's going to be. There will be some signs. When it finally happens, we will all know. But until then, we must keep the faith. We must keep on keeping on. We must not give up. There is a delay, and we're living in that delay, or that dash, as some call it, between this world and the next. Verse 1 reminds us of the answer of what we're supposed to do in the meantime. Pray and never give up. There's quite a curiosity about the end times. Quite a curiosity about it. There's a fascination with this biblical prophecy that is there. But what I would say to all of us is that we should always be ready, in season and out of season, as the scriptures say, to give an account, to give an answer, to be able to share the good news when someone needs to hear it. People speculate about a lot of things, but in the end, we must be ready because it will come. But the longer this time goes on, and it's gone on for thousands of years now. Even the early apostles thought that Jesus would come back sooner rather than later. The parable remains. It calls us to prayer. It calls us to persistence. It calls us to patience. Something that becomes more and more necessary the longer we wait. But make no mistake about it. One day, the world will come to an end. this world and the way that and life that we know it, whether we die physically or whether Jesus comes back and calls us home, like in Luke chapter 17. And he calls us back. Many will simply engage in life without any concern for God. It seems like that's where we're at in our world today. As church attendance falls, as Christianity declines, it seems that people just go on about their own lives and don't care, like the unjust judge, 2 cents about God and what he stands for. It will be, as chapter 17 says, like the days of Noah and like the days of Lot. Many people will end up spiritually disengaged, and this should not surprise us. But it also should give us pause and a sense of urgency for reaching those that are lost, those that won't be ready. Because we're not going to spend time making timelines and figuring out when Jesus is going to come back, and we're also not on the other end of that spectrum just saying, don't worry about it, it'll happen when it happens. We need to be in that center and saying there are people out there that don't know Jesus. We need to find what works and reach them, so that when that day comes, they will be ready. We should never give up. Have there been days when I felt like giving up? You bet. Have there been days when I'm sure you felt like giving up? I'm sure there have been. But the Lord will hold us all accountable. And that's what this passage is about, that we are to be held to an account and that God will one day come back and pronounce judgment upon us. And when he does, there will not be a second chance. We'll no longer be able to reach out to that neighbor, no longer be able to contact that family member that we've been meaning to reach out to. We may no longer be able to be that witness in the community because we're embarrassed of what they think of us. When that time comes, it will last forever. Everyone will have an eternity. Some will have it in heaven. Others will have it in hell. But make no mistake about it, both will last forever. So I encourage us this morning to keep our eyes focused. Keep them focused on hope and never give up, because we have been called. We have been equipped to serve as a people of God. And yes, the struggle is difficult. It's challenging. It's hard. It doesn't seem to be going well sometimes. And we sometimes ask ourselves, is it really worth it? Is there anything that we're doing that's making a difference? Does it really matter? Other times we become frustrated because it looks like the unfaithful seem to be getting everything and figuring it all out. And yet here we are. Prayer. Prayer in this parable also reveals something about how we should pray. We pray for all kinds of things. Many times the prayers that we pray are prayers for health, or they're prayers for finances. Occasionally there'll be a request for the faith of a neighbor or someone that we want to reach for Jesus. Do you see the difference between those two styles of prayer? One is focused on the self, and one is focused on the other. Sometimes we will pray prayers for our leaders and our missionaries, like we're lifted up this morning. We will also spend time in prayer for people that are victims of natural disasters or acts of God, as they are called. People like we're in the path of this most recent hurricane and what's going on in Houston and then out in the islands. But what often is missing in that prayer time is the idea that we should pray for the redemption of all. that we should be praying constantly for them, that we should pray, as Paul wrote to the Thessalonica church in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, being in a constant attitude of prayer regarding something or someone. The idea is that we are the widows in this story, and will we, in the language of the judge, wear God down with our prayers? Will we be able to continually and fearlessly pray to God that he would turn this world around and that people would hear the message, that he would hear our request? He says that he will. We must pray like the early church and ask that God would enable us and help us to do what we've been called to do, even in the face of fierce persecution, even in the face of difficulties and challenges and decline. I'm going to close with this scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Paul wrote, "Therefore, my brothers and my sisters, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Let nothing move you. Nothing. Stand firm in your faith. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. For anything, no matter how large or small, insignificant, what you do for the Lord will never come back void. It's never done in vain. But the question remains, which is unanswered, that Jesus poses, but how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on the earth when he does return? The answer is up to us. Amen.